In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul's exhortation to the Romans for this, our second Sunday in the Advent season, is indeed an exhortation to hope. Hope because the promises that God has made have now been fulfilled in our Savior, in the salvation that he promised to all peoples, now extends not only to his chosen people, but to the Gentiles as well, of which he is the prophet. Hope, brothers and sisters, is that reality, that virtue, whereby the promises that have been given to us in Christ Jesus, we believe we will share in them in our own lives. Hope is not weighed against that which will be, but rather the acceptance of that which indeed has happened, has indeed transpired, will indeed transpire in my own life. God has conquered sin and death once and for all, and has bestowed upon us the gift of his Son in order to effect that reconciliation and that expiation of sins. That has been given indeed to the whole world. Men past, present, and future now rejoice in the expiation and remission of their sins that comes through the mystery of our Lord, the Word made flesh. What we hope in is that we too, by the manner in which we live our lives and cooperate with grace, will likewise share in that same glory, that same expiation of sin, that same newness of life. And hope is the transforming agent as to how we live in the world. Hope does not tell us that life will be easy. Hope does not convince us that life will be absent of difficulty. What hope does convey to us when we trust in that virtue is in the midst of our sorrow, our sadness, and whatever difficulties with which we must contend, we will still find our confidence and our strength in God. We do not waver, not because of anything that we have received by virtue of our natural talents or gifts, but we do not waver because our hope and our confidence is God and in him alone. The Lord likewise makes reference to this in our gospel from St. Matthew, when he enjoins John's disciples to go back and report those things that they have seen and heard. He tells them that precisely because they are familiar with Scripture, and they would know that these were the signs confirming indeed that which God had promised. And Jesus says to them, "The blind see, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead rise, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not scandalized in me." John's disciples would have been well aware of these signs because John himself would have prepared them, knowing that he himself was the precursor. He was the one to go before. Certainly not fit to stoop and strap the sandal of the one who would come after him, he was anxious, looking, waiting, wanting the signs. And now in prison for preaching the truth, he will receive an affirmation that indeed our Lord and Savior is the one for whom they have been waiting. And of course, we know in another part of Scripture that John's response to his disciples is to go and follow the Lord. I must decrease in order that he might increase. But again, this decreasing, this humility that John makes manifest is likewise written in hope. His confidence is in God. He's not worried about himself, what it is that he wears or how he looks. He certainly is not concerned about what would happen to his body. He only is concerned about preaching the truth, witnessing to the truth. We know that it costs him his very life, but he willingly gives that away because of his confidence and his trust in the promises of God. It is not to say that it is easy, and indeed, John is a perfect example for us. He's falsely accused, falsely imprisoned, all because he's preaching truth to those who simply do not want to hear it. Those who are in palaces, those who are kings, those who are clothed in soft garments, the softness of their garments reflecting the softness of their hearts and their lack of resolve to live rightly in the sight of God. But John is undeterred. He preaches even to the shedding of his blood. And then enjoins his disciples, who we know follow after our Lord, to likewise do the same. And of course, our Lord and Savior, following after the precursor, but also preceding him, likewise will shed his blood and give his body in recompense for our sins. As the Son trusts and has confidence in the Father, so we are enjoined to trust and have confidence in the working of our Lord. He is the foundation of our hope. He who we are about to receive in this Eucharistic sacrifice, this very sacrifice which is the living pledge of God's continued promise to us, I will be with you always until the end of time. And he has found this most perfect, sublime, and beautiful way to achieve that. He remains present, captive to us, under the appearances of bread and wine, in order to fulfill that promise and give us a solid foundation upon which to rest our hope. This is why we are doing what we are doing in our Advent season. We are rooting out sin, putting aside any type of enmity that exists between us and God, in order that when the Word made flesh does indeed come to us, we are well prepared to receive him. And then just like John the Baptist, to go out into the world and witness to the good news, even to and including the shedding of our blood and the gift of our bodies. No one truly desires martyrdom, and rightly so, because we should want to hold on to our lives in order that this gift that God has given us, we can return to him. But if God requires that of us, and indeed he might, and even before the shedding of our blood, there are so many ways that we must die in our celebration and proclamation of the truth, we rejoice and find our strength in God, and ask him to be the one who gives us the courage that we need to witness, however it is he calls us to do that. Hope, brothers and sisters, is truly what spurs us on. If faith is that dynamic that causes us to cling to God, and charity, love, is that reality that manifests God's love in the world for us, hope is the linchpin of living out this life of faith and love, to continue to do so because we are firmly rooted in God in Christ. But that cannot happen apart from your cooperation with the grace of God on a daily basis, stirring up and tilling the soil of your soul in such a way that the graces and the fruits that God bestows upon you truly may blossom in your life. God is doing all of the work. The cooperation that he asks of us is minimal, and yet mighty nonetheless. Confident in his promises, recognizing that they not only have been fulfilled in time and history, but are even now being fulfilled in this Eucharistic sacrifice, have hope in the Lord, and go forth and witness to the truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.